Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
This is Sam Amick.
I'm Fred Katz.
And I'm Anthony Slater.
Listen to us throughout the playoffs on the Tampering Podcast as we break down the most important games and series.
We'll also take a look at the big picture implications for each win and each loss.
Might even have a Lopez reference in there. Join us for the Tampering Pod every Tuesday right here on the Athletic NBA Show.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show,
Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Guys, I gotta say, Bucks in four. It's a sweep. The Bucks are just better.
Like they miss PJ Dozier, man. Like that's where their defense is.
Yep.
Fire up the fucking doom ship. I'm burning this bitch down tonight. Hey, I just feel like choosing violence tonight, dog. This shit, it was so fucking funny seeing Philly's fans turn on them like that. Oh, I love it.
Oh, he's getting booed. I love it.
Trey played sorry as fuck, but I just still want to just show them. Hey, that's just because, dog, the number one seed getting cracked like that.
Mm-mm. In both the same weekend.
Listen, why Kevin out here getting it? Why Kevin getting this shit off, bro? The real KD. Fucking white Kevin, bro.
Oh, my God.
Oh, bro. Wow. Listen, if they crack Milwaukee. Oh, my God.
Man, I don't think it's crazy to think it could happen. I really don't.
Yo. I might actually buy some Adidas, bro, after this series.
Yo. Yo, Ben Simmons. It's the best, man.
Fucking trash. Hey, Andrew Graves wouldn't embarrass Australia like that.
No, absolutely not.
Ben Simmons.
We're not. Ben Simmons. I just like we're never doing this again with Gobert, and we're never doing this shit again with Simmons, ever.
Oh, we'll do it again next year because people will talk themselves into those guys again.
No. We're not going to.
Simmons will be somewhere else, but people will talk themselves into.
We're not going to allow it. I'm not going to allow this. Okay. From now on, I'm telling you, until I get fired from the Athletic. We will never, when someone says Ben Simmons, I will say no. Next topic. When someone says Rudy Gobert, nothing. I'll say no. Next topic. After
you
today.
You gotta do him like Kanye.
Oh my God.
You gotta do him like Kanye at this point. Like he can't be mentioned on here. No, he just gonna be number 25, bro.
25, 27.
This is gonna be the most slanderous episode.
And it's no games tomorrow, so that gotta simmer. Oh my God. Is no games tomorrow, so that no shit games. Gonna simmer.
No games at all.
Listen, if I'm the Nets, I'm happy. Because, you know, the heat was on them for a minute. Everybody gonna be talking about them. They about to light Philly ass up tomorrow. They gonna be smoking on that Sixers pack. I'm surprised they throwing no hoagies out there on the court. That shit crazy. Yo, who we waiting on? DeFore?
Bruh. New York strip steak?
This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Boosted.
This is good. This is good stuff.
I know. Hey, Jay King, you would have been.
He might have been wrestling with somebody.
Nah, that's facts.
He might have been doing UFC. He might have been doing archery. That motherfucker does archery. There's Dave. What up, Dave? We're talking shit on you, too.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got Trevon Edwards. We got Jay King. We got James Edwards III. We got a limping but still thriving Dave DeFore. We got a full squad today coming up on the show. We've got our Eastern Conference Finals. We've got our Western Conference Finals. We even got a game into the Western Conference Finals as we get through these playoffs. And oh, shit, guys. I just got something on my phone. Oh, it's a fraud alert. Ben Simmons and the Philadelphia 76ers. Fraud alert. My bank is contacting me saying don't invest in these bums ever again. After they lose a game 7 at home, they didn't just lose a game 7 at home. This is what, like, try, I know it doesn't seem like it, but I do really try to like stay even keeled about a lot of this shit, right? But there was a moment in the fourth quarter in which Ben Simmons was wide open under his own basket. Wide open. And instead of taking his 6'10 ass up to dunk it or lay it in or whatever with only Trae Young around him, he passed to Matisse Thybulle, who was like 8 feet from the basket, who then went and tried to dunk it. He got fouled. He made one of two. And that was the moment where I said, never again with Ben Simmons. Never
Zach,
again.
It took you that long?
Is a curse, bro. The one seed is a curse. All these frauds, bro. Imaginary players. Look.
Imaginary players.
We knew it. We knew it from the jump, but we tried to be nice this year. We're like, nah, you know what? Philly, they're
special
actually doing
circumstances.
Good.
Utah, Philly's doing
you know,
well.
You
yeah.
know what? They're doing really good. You know what? Do it in the playoffs. God damn, yo. Mm. Do you see this?
Ben they Simmons is disrespect to basketball. It's
never again.
What we just watched.
Disrespect to basketball.
What we just watched is a guy who literally doesn't want to play. He doesn't want to play. What did the fact that he dumped that off to Thybulle, who's a 44% free throw shooter. I mean, I didn't even realize how many shots did he take? Was it in the teens?
James, to be fair, Ben Simmons probably looks at that 44% and is like, damn, he's good. Like, man, how did I get to that?
You know what's crazy is on that play, they posted him up, and I was like, yo, Ben Simmons is going to do something.
He did.
He's ready to do something. And then he made a post move and got by his guy, and I was like, yo, Ben Simmons is going to score in the fourth quarter of an NBA playoff game. And then he passed it out of a wide-open layup.
Yeah,
and then Thybulle made a horrible, horrible foul.
Dave, you don't need touch to dunk a basketball.
I know, but he's scared to shoot at all around the basket. Like, he's not a good finisher. So if it's not a dunk, and even that dunk, he might get fouled and have to go to the free throw line. I mean,
his new name
is Ben Simmons.
We make fun. Hey, we can make fun of Giannis. We can make fun of Giannis all we want over the free throws and over his hands. But I mean, I think Giannis took a lot more shots in the fourth quarter of his series that went seven games than Ben Simmons did. Ben Simmons took three shots in the fourth quarter of this series.
Here's how one of my brothers put it. Giannis is afraid once he gets to the free throw line, whereas Ben Simmons is petrified to ever get there in the first place.
Yeah. 1,000%. Yeah. And there's one word to describe that. We're not going that far, but yeah.
Hey, listen, guys, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take.
Look, I'm tired of spending too much breath on dude. Let's talk about Red Velvet. He showed up tonight.
Ooh, Kevin Herter.
White Kev. Oh, listen, White goodness. Kev did it on
Red
Juneteenth.
Velvet.
Listen,
Red
White Velvet. Kev did it on Juneteenth without the MLK jersey. He ain't even need his superpowers.
I'm going to leave that you train, James.
Dennis the Menace.
Yeah.
Got to it, did his thing. You know what I mean? Stayed aggressive. You know, held it down for Trae because Trae struggled a little bit. And John Collins being an instigator that he is. I like this Hawks team, man. I know I didn't pick them to win, but man, they feisty, bro. They impressed me.
See, I want to get to the Hawks too because they were really good. And Herter was fantastic. Trae Young wasn't even great, yeah. but he had a great series. And not only that, but he's just an incredible figure on the road. Like, people just hate him and he loves it, and it makes for an incredible dynamic. But I really think the bigger story to come out of this game is what the hell do the Sixers do? And they tried to change the coach. They tried to change the entire supporting cast, and I thought did a really good job of that. They should have traded Ben Simmons years ago when he still had a lot of trade value. Like 2 years ago when it became clear that he and Embiid were not a great fit together, they should have split up those guys, moved Simmons somewhere where they could get a huge return back. Now, what is the market for him? Like, I'm not even sure.
Listen. Let's talk stats before we lose subscribers. Game one, Ben Simmons in the fourth quarter. 2 for 2 in field goals. Game two.
Oh, 2 for 2.
Cute.
0 for 0. Game three, 1 for 1. Game four, 0 for 0. Game five, 0 for 0. Game six, 0-0, and game 7, 0-0. He does not want to shoot in the fourth.
Yo, he didn't miss in the fourth from what you're telling me, though.
Clutch. Hey, that doesn't count as 100% clutch.
Yo, he might have the clutchest series of all time.
Yo, oh my gosh, dude. Like, no, and shout out to Kevin Huerter, man. I don't have to watch dude play anymore, or at least for a while.
Kevin Huerter?
I couldn't watch anymore.
Oh, you can't. Oh, you have to watch Ben Simmons anymore. Got you. Got
yeah,
you.
I don't okay. even want. Yeah, I don't even want to say his name. I've said it.
No,
enough.
No, no. After today, we can say it the rest of this episode. Then after today, we'd never say his name again on this podcast.
He's, when we say Chicago Bull Ben Simmons,
no, we just say we just say 2-5. 2-5 got traded to the Bulls.
2-5
got traded.
0-0. Let's call him 0-0.
Here's like looking at this, and Tobias had a pretty up and down
solid game.
Yeah, he missed a bunch of shots, but I'll say this: he wasn't afraid. Right, he's attacking the basket. Nope. He was trying to find ways to make it work. He just didn't have the touch in this game. Seth Curry, obviously not afraid. Embiid could not have turned the ball over if he tried more. Like I don't know what the hell happened to his hands, but this has been a problem towards the end of the series. Late in the game, Furkan Korkmaz, I don't know that I've ever trusted a player less who has a good 3-point percentage to take a shot. And then after mm-hmm. that, like other than like Maxi or Shake Milton, like there's nobody else on this team where I'm like, yeah, get them the ball.
Well, Furkan's funny because he's like their 3-point specialist guy, and he's like a 73% free throw shooter.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that's why it throws you off. Yeah. I don't know, man. I think, you know, obviously they're going to try to move Simmons. You know, missing out on Harden feels pretty big right now, I think.
Well,
I don't know about you guys.
I still don't think
that
was... Missing
out on Kyle Lowry seems very big.
Yeah, that one seems bigger, too, right? I really don't think that Harden was ever going to be available to Daryl Morey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
I don't think Tillman was... Like, to be fair, like, I don't think Tillman was ever going
to
do that.
Hey, shout to the Rockets. They knew Ben Simmons was a fraud.
Yeah, they'd rather get nothing back than Ben Simmons.
More scouting credit here, right? Like, went out and got Christian Wood, said no to Ben Simmons. Like, you know, they got a scouting night.
I think it's safe to say that anybody trying to dream up a Draymond Green sort of role for Ben Simmons on their team probably has second guessed that thought, right? Like, he has no effect whatsoever in the half court offense, where like Draymond Green. Obviously is Draymond Green in half court. I don't know what team he can work on.
CJ McCollum for Portland. Ben Simmons.
Does he work in Portland?
He doesn't have to shoot.
He runs the same problem.
Doesn't have to shoot. Opens up more. I don't know if this is a good thing. Opens up more shots for Norm. Can defend, answers their perimeter defensive problem.
Look, this is no disrespect to Norm Powell. I'm not acquiring someone to open up more shots for Norm. Okay, well, that can't be.
No. I agree. Yes. No, you're 1,000% right. But
Norm's good. But what are we doing?
Logistically, that's the only place if I'm Portland and I'm Neil O'Shea, I'm the only GM thinking about it. I'm not giving up a fort or whatever it takes.
What about Toronto?
What do I have to give up?
Your dignity?
I don't know, but there's got to be some deal where you could hold on to Simmons, Siakam,
everyone
and OG.
Loves Chris Boucher. You can have Chris Boucher.
I don't.
I really think like his contract is not good anymore. It went from maybe it never was good, but I think people see it as like a real negative.
All right.
And his standing in the eyes of NBA talent evaluators has never been lower.
I got a question. Who do you want on your team right now for the money? Ben Simmons or Andrew Wiggins?
Oh, man, Andrew Wiggins. I don't even take a second to think about it.
At least Wiggy
nah,
is shooting,
nah,
bro.
I can't go that far.
Wiggy's shooting.
Yeah,
Wiggy
you gotta go there.
He's not gonna take your offense. And look, Ben Simmons, man, look, the guy is one of the, I mean, two or three best defenders in the league, and you could really, if you get down to it, and the way he can defend every position, I mean, he's up there with everybody.
Yo, Wig shot 38% from three this year.
And yeah, he had a good season and had a pretty good season defensively. I mean, he was a part of a top five defense, so he's not a slouch. And I mean, just the fact that he offers you stuff on the offensive end, And maybe he can't be your number one guy, but he could be your number two or number three guy and be at least a little bit more accountable down the stretch than Ben Simmons is.
But I like that. That's a tough, that's not a tough one, Zach, but that's just like shows you where we're at.
Mm-hmm. Yo, 0 for 0 has fallen so far from grace.
Is this game worse than the time he scored 1 point in a game?
Yo, they were booing him in the final like minutes of a game 7.
I think that beer can that got thrown onto the floor was meant for him.
Had to try to Ron Artest this man in his own fucking court in a game 7.
His own fans wanted to fight him.
Oh man.
Yeah,
that's rough. That's rough.
I just think I think you can do better than this if you're down under Tyrone Hill. Like that's what he is at this point. He's Tyrone Hill.
Yo, come.
At least he looks better.
That's fucked up. That's unnecessary. how much is this? How much
are you saying Bo Outlaw that plays with the wrong hand? Is that Boomerang
Bo Outlaw? Is that what we're calling?
Oh man.
All right. If
what rap song was it that shitted on Tyrone Hill?
It wasn't Biggie, was it?
No.
Hubert Davis or somebody.
Yeah, it was Hubert.
It was fuck, I wish I remember that.
And Anthony Mason.
It was in Philly. It gets ugly like Tyrone Hill. And it's in Philly too.
That's crazy because Tyrone Hill is just minding his business.
I know, right? Yeah. Just super shout excited to Tyrone for the Hill. Slander fest of the Athletic NBA show. And also just shit on Tyrone Hill. Thank you for subscribing.
Sorry, Tyrone.
All right.
Shout out to the Hawks, man.
Let's get to the Hawks. Trae Young was not good shooting the ball in this game, but man, his aggressiveness was phenomenal. I thought Clint Capela competed so well considering like what Joel Embiid was doing to him for most of the series. And Clint just kept coming back and they had good help and Gallo stepped up. Obviously Red Velvet was on fire. Yo man, this Hawks team's fucking good.
They're gelling at the right moment.
Listen, I don't even think we would ever say that. I never thought in the past, I thought we would have to say that in 3 years.
Really?
I never thought we would have to say that. Not, bro, I know they had loaded up, but like how they was looking, they didn't look like they was just going to steamroll like this.
Oh, no. Guys.
They're fearless, bro. And that's the thing. Trey, unlike Ben Simmons, he going to keep shooting.
Yeah.
He got shooter's amnesia. He don't give a damn. He go 5 for 17. He's still gonna shoot it, and that's what you need. You know what I'm saying? You don't need a crazy field goal percentage because when that shot needs to be made, he hit a deep three, dog.
Yeah,
like to put them cozy.
Put them up six. You know what I'm saying?
He had Tobias chase him to the half court on a loose ball. And
yeah,
just fly right. It's just having that leverage. And shout out to Trey for one, just his craftsmanship in the pick and roll, just reading Embiid, taking those slight steps up, being able to find Capela over the top, swinging the guys. Herter turned Seth into barbecue chicken. It was a master class in offense, minus like if Trey had shot even fine, that would have been a master class.
That's a tough matchup for Seth too, because like he's like 4 inches shorter than Herter.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, and he tried. It's a tough matchup like
because
try.
He's very bad on defense.
That, okay, well, that was trying to be nice. But, yeah. That's the only like, one where I'm like, he's slander free in this one. He actually balled in the series and wasn't afraid, and they couldn't give him the ball.
Get Seth Curry some help.
Get Seth Curry some help. Absolutely. We do have a quote courtesy of Mark Stein. Sixers coach Doc Rivers was asked post game if Ben Simmons can be the point guard on a championship team. He said, "I don't know the answer to that right now."
Let's go, Doc. I mean, he can't today.
Honesty, man. He just watched what we all watch. He had better seats. Can't sit there and fool us.
You guys stick up for your man at that point.
Let me ask you guys. No.
I
got a tough question. Hold on.
At this point,
he knows
guys,
he's
I got
gone.
A tough question for you. All right, you asked about Wiggins. Yeah. Would we rather have Wiggins? Yeah. Okay. Would Doc have rather had Ben Simmons? Or his own son, Austin, who you know he didn't want around.
Austin's not afraid. I'll take Austin.
I feel like Austin would have done been better for them.
Austin is about he's about 1% of what Ben Simmons costs.
it's just funny. It's just funny how quickly that was taken advantage of. You know, his hesitancy. Atlanta just really jumped all over that. And I thought that, I mean, that obviously cost the game for the Sixers, but the series, it's just, it should have been over.
Trey, what the?
Some dumb basketball, man. Some real dumb basketball.
Trey, what did you just drop in the chat? Is that Tony Snell?
Oh, Tony Snell. Tony Snell merch.
That's Tony Snell merch.
Tony Snell has merch?
Tony Snell merch? Tony Snell still has a BlackBerry. That's a fact.
Is that Tony Snell's logo?
Yes, it's a snail. That shit fire.
That's hilarious.
God.
Yo, if any of you guys all need to go find
Tony Snell's logo, I don't know where it came from.
The T Snell snail. Oh my God.
You got to shoot 50, 50, 100, man, to get that.
We're going to get to a little preview of
Snell. Someone who likes zero for zero.
But that's not up to him. You know?
It's the Ozark logo.
I feel like teams are actually paying him to go 0-for-0. They're not doing that for Ben Simmons. We'll get into more of the Eastern Conference Finals preview next, but fuck! I got another fraud alert. Rudy Gobert and the Utah Jazz? Another fraud alert? Frauds. Look, I was on Wednesday. I have a regular radio hit in Salt Lake City, and I was asked, and this was after the Kawhi news had come out, right? That he was out. And I was asked, I was like, so what's going to happen? I was like, look, there's no way the Jazz can lose this series at this point. No Kawhi. Like, it's not going to happen. But if they do, everyone's got to go other than Donovan Mitchell. Like, everyone's got to go. And now, guys, what happened to Rudy Gobert in game six? As Terrence Mann is going off on the Jazz, as Reggie Jackson is bodying everybody, as Paul George, slander-proof in that series. What happened? How did the Jazz let that happen?
They Paul George have a life-awakening moment, bro. He found himself again.
Let me say this.
And shout out to Ty Lue.
There are zero excuses.
Ty Lue coaches ass off.
I don't want to hear Mike Conley was hurt or Donovan Mitchell's ankle. They didn't have Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah,
there's no excuse.
Yeah, but they had no point of attack. The Utah Jazz have no perimeter defense at all. No. Like their entire scheme is all about making you go up against Rudy Gobert, right?
Yeah.
So the Jazz entire scheme is you are going to have to contend with Rudy Gobert. We're going to funnel you straight to him. He's great at that, right? Like we all agree that he is great at drop coverage because he's so good at being that guy that people get funneled.
He's the best in the world at that one thing.
Fantastic.
Reggie Jackson would disagree.
Okay. So now you get into the playoffs and it has to change. And so the Jazz say, well, we're going to try to make you face Gobert. Okay, so we're going to go five out. And now you got to choose. Are you going to still try to force us into Gobert and force Gobert into the play? Or are you going to leave Terrence Mann open and hope that he shoots better or, you know, at least isn't a hesitant shooter because that's why they were leaving him open. They didn't think he was going to shoot. He shot and stuck him, and then they didn't change it up.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So, I mean, it's Gobert, but like Gobert was being asked to cover like 30 feet, man.
But I thought he could defend on the perimeter.
The whole team was bad.
He could defend on the perimeter, that he is elite at every level of defense.
He's starting every possession. He's starting every possession with a foot in the paint while Terrence Mann was in the corner, right? Like, I mean, that was their scheme.
But he wasn't.
So
he
that's
wasn't
a coaching
even,
issue.
No, nah, man. That's
maybe it was a coaching issue. Nah. But he didn't even try to get back out to the perimeter on a number of occasions. I agree, it's a team-wide issue. Like, they set up their roster with a bunch of guys who are not great defenders because they figured, you know what, this is kind of a market efficiency thing for us. These guys may not work everywhere else, but we have Rudy Gobert. Like, we can get away with Bogdanovich and Ingles and these type of guys on the perimeter. Like, we don't need lockdown perimeter defenders everywhere. So I get that. But also, every single bucket was by Rudy Gobert's man. And Rudy never rotated after the initial rotation to the bucket. He didn't get to the bucket to take away Reggie Jackson's points. He
did a few times and didn't block it.
He was totally lost on the perimeter. And I had people in my Twitter mentions saying, yeah, but there are only a few teams that can really take advantage of him. It's like, bro, they didn't have Kawhi. They were playing Terrence Mann, who's never done anything in his NBA career. Nicholas Batum, who was considered washed up for like the past 3 years before being a pretty useful piece this year. Pat Beverly. And those guys obviously shot above what they normally do, but they were wide open practice shots, man, and the Jazz never did anything.
What did Dorian Finney-Smith say, right? When I Gobert, I knew I was going to get a bunch of good looks. Let's not act like this isn't the other team game planning to go after him. So,
this is 100%. Issue, like, you're taking advantage of their greatest strength is what I'm getting at. Yeah. I'm saying, like, it's up to the Jazz. So the Jazz have their plan. Clippers are countering it. And then the Jazz just, their counter was weak. It was like, okay, we're just going to, if he beats us, we're okay with that. And in a game seven, man, an elimination game, it was a game six, even worse because you were up.
Yeah.
You gotta do better. And I've thought like all year, I mean, I've watched so many of their games and I've wondered if their plan was favors. Like, maybe they didn't realize that he was, as washed as he looks playing defense. And their hope was by the time they got to the playoffs, they were going to have that guy that could do the thing that you needed. Because Gobert can't physically do that. But I don't know that there's many players that can do what they were asking of him to protect the rim the way they needed because of those defenders and also guard a smaller player on the perimeter like that. That's a lot for anybody, but in particular, a 7-footer.
But he's supposed to be the defensive player of the year. And he got absolutely game planned to the point where Ty Lue, I think he said it during his TV interview. He's like, yeah, we just think, we can get to the paint and drag Rudy out there and then we're going to get a wide open shot.
Yeah. Regular season award though, right? Like, I mean, you get a chance to play the same team a couple times in a row. I mean, when we've seen this with Milwaukee, they get to the playoffs and they're not able to adjust. And we saw it with the Jazz. I mean, the Jazz had that very similar recipe for success and it came back to Burnham.
Right, but here's the other part of it. Here's the other part of it, too. You have to be able to destroy, as a 7'1", 270 pounder, or whatever he is, you have to be able to kill a 6'6 guy in a switch. And it wasn't even a switch. They were literally just guarding him with 6'6", 6'7 guys regularly. Like,
you got to flash.
And his team didn't trust his hands. They wouldn't throw him lobs.
Right.
They didn't trust him to be able to score down low. And that, to me, is the biggest issue. If he had just been able to score repeatedly, grab rebounds repeatedly, right. He had 12 points and 10 rebounds against 6'5 and 6'6 dudes. And so, like, his defensive issues wouldn't have mattered if he had just played the lineup off the court.
Exactly.
But he couldn't do that. So yeah. his
that's
offense.
That's what happens to Utah every year. It's the other end, too, right? Because he could not make any sort of impact over there. They needed to adjust and get him off the court. I don't know who they would have gone to. Like, that's a whole other question.
But this is my issue, Dave. This is my issue. Is that whenever in the regular season, it's like, sure, Rudy's really good, but that gets so much goddamn pushback from obviously Jazz media, who they have to, like, for whatever reason, seem to have to root for. The for the Jazz. And then outside
they
of
don't
that,
have to.
The fucking analytics community. Well, and I'm not anti-analytics here. This isn't against, but that's no, my issue you're not. Where I'm like, why does it like and then when it happens that night where they give up 81 fucking second half points. 81, right? 81.
It was great. One of the biggest
on the
absolute
line.
Choke jobs I've ever seen.
Exactly. Zach. It's and the thing is, afterwards, it's just the excuse machine. Well, it's not his fault for this, for that. Really? Because the other team is dying to go against him in a 7-game series. They're dying to.
Well, now here's the question though. Why isn't there an adjustment made? Right? Like
Quinn might be a bad coach. Quinn might be
this is what
West.
I'm wondering. All right.
Quinn is definitely not a bad coach.
He's not a bad coach.
In the playoffs?
But like, I mean, you can't watch that and not try to change it. I mean, like the math problem, I think it was a math thing where they were just like, there's no way he's going to do this. And he just kept doing it. But like at a certain point, you got to just say, all right, this guy's on one. We've all been around basketball for a long time. And sometimes the guy that normally doesn't do it, does it. We see it all the time.
And they had
so
a 25
you just got to be
point,
ready.
They had a 25 point lead.
That's
like.
That's the part that keeps
getting
overlooked.
It gets down to 10 and you're like, all right, Terrence Mann has 30 already and they are splashing threes everywhere. What can we do? Do we need to sit Rudy? Do we need to play five perimeters? Because I think the Jazz would have had a better five perimeter lineup if they had gone small too.
At
and
least
they would have
scored.
Had a 10-point
well,
lead
but
or whatever
Rudy,
it was.
Do you
if
go
Rudy,
Royce at the if, five? Like, what do you... the person
again.
The person.
If Rudy's doing his job on offense, they have to bring in a big, right? Like they cannot go five smalls if Rudy is playing 7 foot tall. Like Joel right. Embiid, you can't go small against Joel Embiid.
But he can't because his teammates don't trust him to have the basketball.
Exactly, and so that's the issue. That's so, what really killed him.
Salute to Ty Lue though. How many coaches would have gotten to that lineup and leaned on it the way he did and stayed with it down? 25.
They weren't playing Terrence Mann.
You look at what we saw from Doc, and you look at what we saw from Ty Lue, and you see why the Clippers made the change. I mean, Lue made several defensive changes. The way they played so many different coverages to go and commit to the small ball, to recognize that about Rudy and Utah that they weren't going to change and they were just going to do what they like. It was a masterclass, I thought, that series from Ty Lue. And for me. He's entered the conversation when we start saying some of these names like the Quinn Snyders and X, Y, and Z. Like, I think Lou's shown enough this year to be in those conversations.
I mean, he's definitely beyond Quinn at this point. Quinn has really struggled in the playoffs. Great regular season coach. I do think he's a good coach, but the playoffs, like, at this point, why would you trust him?
Not great.
Yeah.
Track record's really not
great. Track record's really
again,
not good.
I mean, again, Gobert like takes a lot of heat, but you also got to think like you're as a coach, you got to put these guys in a position to succeed in the playoffs.
Yeah,
but they got to be able to play, but the scheme isn't working for him.
This is also what
so
happens.
If he's your guy, maybe just go to zone. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Anything like anything other than the shit they're doing.
I deserve an apology.
For what?
When I said that the Jazz were the 2015 Hawks. You guys acted like the Jazz were so far beyond the 2015 Hawks.
Both are frauds.
These motherfuckers could not get out of the second round. They could not beat the Kawhi-less Clippers. They were not even as good as the 2021 Hawks.
Get them.
Never mind the 2015 Hawks. What do you think LeBron, Kevin Love, and Kyrie would have done to old tree ass Rudy Gobert?
Get him.
Oh, Tristan Thompson would have dominated.
Apologize.
To who?
Apologize.
To you?
Damari Carroll would have locked up Terrence Mann.
Right, he actually would have helped.
All right.
He would have been great. Yeah, they could have used him.
Damari Carroll would not have allowed Terrence Mann to score close to 39 points. You all told me I was so wrong.
First of all, you know what's funny is Kevin Love didn't play against the Hawks. Kevin Love didn't play
I will say I was wrong. I gave the Jazz way too much mother credit.
You sound like you're about to lose, like get your legs broke after this.
Yeah, like you lost some money. by the way, never saying Rudy's
name.
I'm
sorry, the Jazz lied to
you. We're never saying Rudy's name on this either. He's 2'7" from now on.
We gotta like officially make a list.
He's 12-10.
12-10.
Why was he going on Twitter today?
And
chirping back at people saying all my three defensive player of the years are real. Like we live bro, in basements. Shut the not now.
Yo, man,
of all times, this is the problem. Just know when to be quiet.
That organization caters to his ass so much. And I get it. Like, organizations cater to their stars and everything, but it is such a crazy level with him.
Yo, how many screen assists did he have in game 7?
I'll tell you how many screens.
I guess it was game 6.
I'll tell you how many screens he's watching the rest of the series. One, right? He is going to be watching this shit on a screen. He's going to be on vacation with his iPad out. That's his screen assist. One fucking screen.
You just can't go on Twitter after watching Phoenix and DeAndre Ayton, like DeAndre showing you what you should do.
But to be fair, it's the Suns, the rest of their wing defenders, too. Like, well, they have a totally different group of wing defenders.
Also, yeah, and to be fair, DeAndre Ayton knows how to actually catch a basketball and put it in the basket.
That's part of it.
I mean, that's a fantastic, amazing athlete, you know, DeAndre Ayton.
He's really good. You ever watched him run?
Really good.
Yeah, beautiful. It's beautiful. It's a thing of beauty.
It's a gazelle.
All right, let's get.
I really do talk about DeAndre Ayton running all the time. It's a real thing.
It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Might be the fastest man alive.
Sunshine poured through the window.
It's fastest
man started running. Let's get to Saturday
night.
My
phone background, actually.
Let's get to Saturday night where Mike Budenholzer has Mr. Magood his way into the Eastern Conference Finals because that dude has made some of the most egregious coaching decisions in that series, but it worked out. Because Kyrie got hurt, James Harden had one leg, Chris Middleton stepped up, and Drew Holiday's a winner. Like, that's the reason. I am shocked that Mike Budenholzer is in the conference finals. Because I really, like, we are half a shoe size away. And shout out to Chris Herring at 538 for having this story, I think a couple years ago, where KD apparently said, like, he plays in a size 18 because it's, like, more aerodynamic. He wears a size 17
Do you guys
and a half.
Play in bigger shoes?
Yeah, he plays in bigger shoes. This was courtesy of Chris Herring. And so if he played in the right size shoe, I think they would have sent the Bucks home because Mike Budenholzer refused to double team Kevin Durant.
Man.
He was dropping 40 every night.
I don't even know where to start with this, dog. I'm so frustrated, right?
Should we start with love with the Bucks? Or do we just
shout to the Bucks? I think we give love to, you know,
I think we can give as much as I'm shitting on Budenholzer, man. That was a great series. Both those teams were fucking good in that series. Role players stepped up, unless you were Joe Harris. We had a lot. Oh, don't even get me started on that fraud.
It felt What's his number again?
I don't need 12. I don't know.
1-2.
1-9. That's his number.
1-9.
Bro shot 33%.
I'm making a list
game.
Right now. Hold on.
Led the league in 3-point percentage and could not throw a rock in the ocean in a series that really counted.
Mm. And he had that one late in the game, wide open.
Oh my God. Listen,
butt naked.
And Pat Connaughton's just out there drilling threes.
Here's the thing.
Playoff Pat.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to give a halfway shout out. I'm going to say a halfway shout out, right?
Oh, man, this is going to be so disrespectful.
Because me and Dave are both dealing with leg injuries right now from playing basketball. James Harden played 52 minutes on a grade 2 hamstring, but I want to talk about the long pass that he threw. I don't understand that. Listen, JH, you my man, but that's drugs. You're up four. Kevin's out the there just kind of chilling.
What the fuck throw was it. That?
I don't know, bro. It was a Carlton, but it wasn't a shot attempt. So then that's one play. Several missed defensive assignments. Mm-hmm. I get it. Again, you're on one leg.
Yo, he really was moving like I do in men's league.
But
in an NBA game 7.
But to protect him, he comes out of the game, they blitz Kevin and gets him off the ball. So he has to play for the Twitter coaches.
He had 22-9-9.
No, that's the thing. For the Twitter coaches who felt like he shouldn't have been on the floor.
No, he had to play.
You can't take him off the court because he's still pressure.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, respectively, they still respect him enough to, like, you know, understand. But, geez, man. Kevin's Bigfoot. Overtime. First of all, you got Kevin Durant playing 48 minutes. You also have Kevin Durant bringing the ball up. You have Kevin Durant posting up at the high. You have Kevin Durant wrestling with PJ Tucker. And you also have Kevin Durant on the other end trying to guard Chris Middleton, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Drew Holiday in multiple sets, right? And then in overtime, you ask this man to still carry them. No one else wanted to shoot. You go back and look.
That was one of the best series I've ever seen.
Yeah. In a weird way. You still wonder how the Bucks won.
Durant was doing.
And oddly, Jay, he's fixed his legacy. Oddly. Like, not the two championships. People now want to say, you know what? He's solidified. Bro, he been solidified since like year two. Yeah.
Those are the people. The people that say that are the people Rudy Gobert was tweeting about. Like, anybody that ever doubted KD isn't, like, stop. Best scorer on the planet. Can I shout out Drew Holiday? Because I had slander ready.
Hold on. Not scorer, player.
Yes.
Player, fix that.
Okay.
I'm going to call him by his number two.
I was ready to slander Drew until about 6 minutes left in the fourth. And then shout out to Paolo from The Ringer, who tweeted what I was going to say for the pod. But Drew literally turned into the player the Bucks have been needing for years at the most critical time of the season. Just the way he created, the way he hit shots in those final minutes.
No, you know what he is? This was 3 years ago, when Jimmy Butler was trying to get to the Miami Heat, right? And they ended up trading him to Philly.
I knew he was going to bring up the Heat.
No. Hold on. So the Leptard Show was asking Amin Al-Hassan. They're like, why? Like, what's the big deal with Jimmy Butler? Like, he's not. And Amin said, Jimmy's a winner. Like, what has he ever won? It's like, no. There's a mentality, right? Like, he's a winner. Yep. He does things the right way. He does things the way that is. So Drew is a winner. Drew is cut same from the cloth. Same cloth. Exactly. And 1,000%. So he could be having a horrible fucking game. And as it was going, like, whenever he put up a shot.
A horrible series, too.
Yeah, like, he really didn't shoot well, right?
Yeah.
But he was making plays, and he played good defense, And I knew, like, he was, like, the two guys that I trusted down the stretch of that game, even though they were both having horrible shooting games, was Middleton and Drew. Because I knew these guys are going to get to the spots they need to get to. And then it's just, can you put it in the basket?
Right.
And that's, like, that's a win. And
they did that.
And then the other
piece of that. Middleton hit over Bruce.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh.
My Lord.
Ooh.
I jumped. I think I spilled something, too.
And then the other piece to that. Is that those are the type of guys the Bucks needed.
Right.
Guys that could
for years.
Guys that could, like PJ Tucker, he gave up close to 50 points to Kevin Durant twice. But every possession, he was in Durant's shorts. Every possession, he was hounding him full court. Every possession, he was right there. Like, it's hard to say you played incredible defense when the guy averaged 34 on 50 4% shooting for the series. But Tucker was unreal throughout that entire series guarding Durant. And then
here we go. What's my man's name from Macedonia? What's our guy's name?
Ukraine MVP.
Manchar, whatever, Billy. Here's the thing.
For those listening, we were looking up PJ Tucker's resume, and he was just a Ukraine League All-Star, and we were wondering, like, why was this dude not the MVP?
Yeah.
And it was some dude, Manchar or something. I forget his last name.
Like Moose Billy or something like that. Yeah. Moose Billy.
But PJ Tucker, he's not an MVP type. He's a winner, but he is a winner. And this is what I'll say. Like, they hounded Kevin Durant. Tucker hounded him. Yep. Drew Holiday hounded him. And he roasted them. But it all came back to matter because in the last 5 minutes of Game 7, the overtime of Game 7, Durant was gassed. Yeah. That last possession, he had very little left. And it's just like the cumulative effect of just grinding him down and him having to do everything for that team that entire series because Kyrie was out and Harden was walking like fat-ass J. King. And and it was just, I mean the Bucks earned that one. Like, it wasn't pretty at all. No. And that's why this Bucks team to me is different. It doesn't have to be pretty with them. They're not front runners. They can really, really grind one out. And obviously they got lucky that Brooklyn was banged up, but they grinded that out.
They outscored Brooklyn 6-2 in overtime.
Yeah, that was a shit overtime.
Well, I think both teams, man, like, they were just dead. Kevin Durant getting roasted for an air ball after when he had played literally 53 minutes at that point. Come on, man.
Yeah,
like, man.
And that was on target, too.
Although that series is an all-timer. Like, it was a heavyweight fight, and it felt like a rock fight at times. You were talking about PJ Tucker's defense. Like, I'll remember that in particular from the series.
Yeah, and I remember the fact that Kevin Durant still had up night after night. That's right, what I'm
exactly,
going to remember.
Exactly.
Even though
PJ Tucker was on him like a backpack.
That PJ Tucker was locking up Kevin Durant.
That was the 91
and then he had 49 that game.
Yeah. And then we went for 8 hours on Monchar. We found it sitting there doing research, asking scouts about this guy.
I went on Synergy. I was watching Matchup. Clips on Synergy. By the way, horrible quality. A horrible video quality. Oh, my God.
That's what happens in the Ukraine league.
They downloaded it off of LimeWire, man.
That dude's a bucket, though. Oh, my God. He looked like Drew Holiday.
He was out there with the knee braces hooping later in his career.
John Hollinger said he jumped over a car in a dunk contest. I'll believe anything about him at this point.
Yeah, I need proof of that. I need to find that.
Manuchar, man.
Brooke was out there coach shaving, man. They panned the camera to the huddle before the infamous didn't realize the shot clock was winding down out of a timeout, and he was in the huddle. Be strong. Be smart. We got this. And then it gets out there and doesn't shoot the ball.
Chris Middleton was so mad.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Somehow Giannis, on the last attempt in regulation, hit the back of the shot clock. I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a back shot.
I watched that with my brothers. The King family was in stitches at Giannis's attempt. And honestly, he was unbelievable. And the hook shot he hit over Durant, where he kind of big boyed him, got to his spot.
Yeah,
and
that was
an absolutely big time special move over a great, great defender at the end of a game where both guys were spent. I thought Giannis, like, he gets some shit for not closing. He gets some shit for being like relatively limited compared to other superstars. And he wasn't the best player in that series by any stretch, but
he was really
damn good.
Yeah, but when he hit enough jumpers. But when he plays to his strengths, like, that's what you want. I mean, like, go be Shaq. Yep. You're not Kobe.
If he were to cut out the early shot clock jump shots, I would really love how he played in that series. I don't mind the threes that happen where it's like, you know, the ball kicks around a little bit and they are leaving you open. Take that one, please. Like, that, those are the ones that Ben Simmons needs to take. And that's why he messes up their offense. It's the walking up, you know, 18 seconds on the clock and you're launching a three. You suck at shooting. Stop. Like, you're great at dunking. Try that. And you know, we see them when he gets into that, as a trailer, almost semi-transition, because they will let him run in with a head of steam and he collapses the defense. Just do that every time until they adjust. And now you're going to get more stuff. And so, you know, when they do that and he plays to his strengths, yeah, it's amazing how good he looks.
He played very disciplined late in that game, especially given how he started. And I thought that was a big, big moment for him. I mean, we talked about it. He started out with shooting some jumpers and he hit some. I mean, in the end, the jumpers Giannis hit actually kind of won them the game. But in the end, he didn't take those. He stayed true. They all stayed disciplined. There wasn't too many bad shots, which we had seen a lot in game six. Oh, did he shoot?
He banked in a three.
Oh, yeah, he did bank.
Somebody on the Nets did too after that. So I think
James Harden. Yeah, James. I forgot about that.
By the way, the Nets had an offensive rating of 134 points per 100 possessions when PJ Tucker was guarding Kevin Durant this series. 134. They set the league record at 120 this season. So that just shows you. Locked him up.
Yeah.
PJ was amazing defensively.
To be fair, if they don't make this trade, they're not in this position. So I got.
You had to make the trade. Still, yeah. It just. Yeah. He didn't lock him up.
He certainly didn't lock him up.
We can't.
But
never
I thought
call
he did a great job, though.
Up.
He forced him to
do 35 points in this series.
He contested a lot. He forced some turnovers. And honestly, like making Durant work possession after possession after possession the way they did, in the end, that made a difference. Like the last 5 minutes. He was totally gassed. Between him and Giannis.
The last shot.
It was really like both of them were like getting peeled off their chair for the overtime after timeouts and stuff like that. Like they were just so spent. And
Joe Harris knew to run another one because he had so much energy.
Oh God.
How about Steve Nash just like, yo, I can't sub these dudes. I can't sub any of these dudes at all.
KD said
even Bruce Brown, he was like, you know what?
Pat
Bruce
Connaughton
Brown is playing like
was the only bench player in the entire game to score. Right. 9 points. Nets.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Nets bench
that's
didn't
the D'Antoni
score
effect, guys. You know, that's that D'Antoni. I'm gonna play 5.5 guys.
Yeah. That is a D'Antoni thing for sure.
Shout out to Pat.
I mean, who do you trust? You know what I mean? That's what it happens, right? Like, who do you trust? And you know, after all those injuries, they just didn't have a ton of guys.
All right,
they're scrappy. They're scrappy, you know?
Let's look ahead. Bucks Hawks. Now, you guys in the chat, very dismissive
that could be a sweep.
Of the Hawks' chances.
Yeah, it could be a sweep.
It's not going to be a sweep.
I think Bucks and four.
I definitely need to apologize. Wait, you said what?
Bucks Hawks is not going to
be. Bucks and four.
Oh, Bucks Hawks. Okay, I thought you were talking about
that. Could
Bucks
be Bucks in three.
Damn,
y'all trust Mike Budenholzer that much, huh?
If Ty Lue coached the Bucks, that'd be Bucks in two.
I'm refreshing
my
FanDuel app.
They had
I can't
a good
find
coach.
This odds yet.
If they had a good coach, I think they sweep them. Unfortunately, they have Mike Budenholzer.
Budenholzer's gonna win a title.
That's crazy.
And
you're
they
right.
should still
and
get
it's
rid of him.
Crazy. That shouldn't happen.
Who are you going to hide Trey on this series?
The definition
and Herter.
The definition of white privilege is that you have three black coaches in the conference finals and the white guy's going to win the championship and the white guy's Mike Budenholzer. That's what happens.
Nah. He's still going to look like he got his house egged.
Oh, shit.
I think you guys are being very dismissive.
There really is. There's no hiding spot for Trey.
Or Kevin.
Yeah. Because Drew is just so physical. Mm-hmm. And the Nets had physical dudes. Like, they weren't a great defensive team, but they have a lot of big, burly dudes. Trey's going to be, I think, in trouble against Milwaukee.
You remember when you were a kid and you wore ankle weights to try to get your hops up?
Yeah.
And then you're running. You do maybe a mile in ankle weights.
I used to walk around in jump soles.
I bet
you
did.
In the jump soles with the calves, your calves looking refined.
Jump soles.
And then you take them off, and you feel like you're the fastest man alive. That's what Milwaukee's about to do to Atlanta after what they just went through.
I like Drew on Trey, so I got the Bucks. Bucks and five.
I mean, I got the
I
Bucks,
don't know, man.
I just think disrespectful. Dave, that these guys are saying this is over in four, it's over in five, man.
I just don't trust the Bucks, man. Plain and simple.
You trust the Hawks?
They played, and that's fair. They just won a series where I watched them play stupid basketball for large portions of it, right? Like, I mean, it's just like stuff that just doesn't make any sense. So I don't know. I've thrown my hands up with that team a little bit. And then I watched the Hawks continue to surprise us.
The Bucks got players that want to shoot, though.
And that's great. Yeah. I mean, I think the Bucks are going to win. They ought to win this in four, right? It ought to be a sweep, right? It, like anything less than a sweep, I think, is not good for the Bucks. Like, that's bad. They should sweep.
I got Bucks in seven.
But the Hawks are just kind of tough, right?
Bucks in seven. Hawks are good, man. The Hawks are good.
I'm going to say Bucks in six. I'm going to say Bucks in six, yeah, because I'm worried about the guys.
I will
Atlanta
say.
Atlanta just not having enough guys.
Nate McMillan's got the boys playing.
This is what I'm saying. He does. This is what I'm saying.
He's got them believing. He's got them defending.
That's a good defensive team.
I don't really know how they defend.
That's a good defensive
team. I mean, it's they are.
It won't be the same against Milwaukee that it wasn't against Philly, assault. Though.
Why? But Milwaukee because and Philly Doc are had both, lineups. They both play stupid basketball. Why is it any different?
I agree. Exactly. But the Matisse, Ben, who am I missing? The non-shooting lineups that Philly had throughout there aren't going to be there.
Even George Hill, they were leaving easily.
Those just aren't going to be there in the next series. There's going to be more than three shooters at all.
I'm more disrespectful comments about the Hawks away from taking the Hawks in the series. So you guys tread lightly, okay?
I hope you do. Hey. Please, I hope you do. I can't wait
to
throw it back at you after they get swept.
Send 2-5 to Sacramento for Halliburton and Hield.
Yo, hold on.
I wouldn't do it.
Am I watching John Collins with a t-shirt of himself dunking on Joel Embiid?
How did he get that so fast? This shit was 2 days ago.
Is he really?
Yo.
That's amazing.
Yo. That's it.
The Hawks are awesome. I love
them. Cancel the 76ers.
You know what? Hawks and six. That t-shirt, Hawks and six.
God, man.
That tweet, Dave, or that quote.
Yeah.
Lord have all right, for
well, let's read it.
Yeah,
go for it.
Joel Embiid from Rich Hoffman at The Athletic. Joel Embiid, I'll be honest. I thought the turning point was when we, I don't know how to say it, is when we had an open shot and we made one free throw.
Ben is gone tomorrow, baby.
Yo! Everyone's just like, I mean, they're not even firing shots. They're dropping bombs.
I love everything about this. Because you don't lie to us and be the... this isn't time to be the cuddly teammate. It's just not. We all watched it. And it's a big reason that they're home now. And you just can't sugarcoat things at a certain degree. And this was so egregious.
Yo, that's fucked up though. Like, that's your teammate, man.
It ain't going to be. They all know
it's
done.
Not for long.
They know it. Get them off now.
Draft night is going to be very interesting.
Gosh, the Pistons are going to trade for Ben Simmons, aren't they?
Oh, there you go.
I'm going to be.
Yeah, after you said I don't have to watch him anymore.
I'm going to have to watch him every game. And then in the play-in, he's going to extend my vacation for a game.
All right, so you guys are all disrespecting the Hawks, and I'm on the verge of very much over-respecting the Hawks. I can't believe you guys.
I love the Hawks. And I think, you know, look, the juice that Herter brings for them, like, three playmakers is going to be harder for the Bucks to deal with. I mean, but I just don't know that the Hawks are going to be able to stop the Bucks at all. Like, they just Trae Young, Kevin Herter, just going to struggle.
If Bogey can get healthy, I think it's a nice matchup.
Yeah, I don't disagree there. And plus, we need the Bogey versus the Bucks matchup for.
Oh my God!
You know, for the drama anyway, right?
After the old tampering, you know.
Yeah, I'm still reeling from that Embiid quote.
Bro.
That was one of the craziest things you'll ever hear someone say about his own fucking teammate.
But he's not lying. He's not.
It's 100% true, but holy shit. Oh my God.
I still think Doc's is bad. I can't answer that.
Doc's like, yo, you want me to answer whether that dude can play at a championship level? He couldn't even beat fucking Kevin Herter in the second round.
He was afraid of Trae Young.
Everyone decided to throw him under the bus all at once, which is nice because you get it out of the way, but very weird to do it tonight.
There's no flight home.
So they have to. Everybody's in cars. Right? They have to.
That's it.
You can't come back from that. No. That's like when Marshawn Lynch didn't get the rock at the 1 yard line and it ruined the Seahawks forever.
No.
Ben Simmons did not shoot from the 1 yard line. And the Sixers will never be the same.
All right, let's get to Suns Clippers for the Western Conference Finals. We did have Game One on Sunday. Devin Booker beat Paul George. We had a lot of fun parts of this. Obviously, no Kawhi Leonard. Are they just keeping with this whole like we don't know when he's going to play again thing? Are we pretending that he's going to come back in the postseason?
I can't imagine he's going to come back. Right?
I mean,
who is this?
It's Kawhi, right? Like, I mean, you know, he's playing.
Nah, he's very, they've been very private about his injury reports.
Yo, unless
long time.
Unless Mr. Miyagi can get to him. Injury? Like, he's done.
Yeah. We won't see him till October.
Chris Paul going to be back, though.
Might not see him before that.
Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so Chris Paul, according to Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports, Chris Paul is symptom free. So I guess we expect him back for game two, which I think is on Tuesday. So with Chris Paul back, like this, I don't want to be totally dismissive of the Clippers, but
I'm going to be totally dismissive
of the Clippers. Like, I think that's a sweep. If Chris Paul's healthy, like, and they're obviously not going to have Kawhi back. I just, the Clippers played great, fun basketball today and it didn't matter.
But if Booker hadn't touched God.
Yeah. I thought that the Clippers were okay and had a lot of good stuff happening. But it's pretty obvious they're one man down, right? Like,
they're more than that because Marcus Morris is hurt and they couldn't really go to their small lineups like they wanted to, I think. So that's another issue for them. They're without Kawhi, they're against it unless they're playing Rudy Gobert and just get wide open shots all the time.
Here's the thing is if Booker is going to control the game the way he did in particular down the stretch, I mean, he had that one 12-0 run or whatever he did for himself, 12 straight points for this. If he's going to be able to do that, and then you add Chris Paul to the mix as like a release valve, a guy that's going to eat in the little mid-range. I'm with you. I think that could for sure be a sweep, and maybe because the Clippers are playing really good basketball right now, maybe they steal one. But the talent disparity really is a thing in this series.
The size disparity.
Yeah. Do we
every type of disparity?
This is probably going to be
Paul George has been unbelievable, man. I want to say that because this has not been a Paul George type of podcast in the
past. I don't know what you mean.
And he has been fantastic throughout this playoffs. He has given them playmaking. He has given them shot making. He has been consistently very, very good. So
I just want to warn you, okay? This is important. Now, it's often not a Paul George podcast. Not because of how he plays, but because of what he says, right?
Right.
Like he, you know, he scored 36 points on 14 of 20 shooting in game 5 in 2019 against the Blazers. And he defended that shot by Damian Lillard really well. And we didn't clown him for that. We clowned him because he said it was a bad shot. So it's... Exactly. I do think he could play well in this series, but I'm fearful of what he'll say at the podium.
Yeah, and he is good, right?
He's like been fine
this is
so far.
This is not one of these things.
No, he's a good fucking
player. But also,
player.
He's like, a really good player. Yeah, this is why we make fun of him, right? Yeah. It's not like it's Shaq Harrison out there saying this stuff, right? Like, Paul George.
I wish Shaq Harrison said that stuff. It'd be hilarious.
but you know, Paul George is good, which is why we hate when he makes excuses. But I mean, they don't win that series against Utah if Paul George doesn't put him on his back. And same with Game One against Phoenix. Like, they're not in it like that if Paul George.
Yeah, he was amazing. So. Just Devin Booker was better. Right? Yeah, and there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, Devin Booker. I mean, look, if I'm looking at dark horse, like if I'm like, I'm not gambling, but if I was thinking about next year's MVP, I'm looking at the Suns and how good they're going to be next year. I'm probably thinking Devin Booker's got a good shot at it, right? Like, Devin Booker, something has happened with Devin Booker here in the last, like, few months, and especially seeing him do it in the playoffs. This guy's on a whole nother planet right now.
I agree, but yeah. I also think this has kind of been what Devin Booker's been all along.
Yeah, I think it's just competence around him.
No. He hasn't been this good.
The commentary around Devin Booker was so wrong for so long.
No, he didn't start defending until last season.
But why did he?
He took so much heat because his team sucked.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and
because he never
help.
Had any talent around him. And because the entire organization was dysfunctional and worthless.
Yeah.
And he was always awesome.
He's always been
ready for this playoff stuff for years.
I think
there has not been a young star in the NBA who has been criticized for no real reason more than Devin Booker.
I don't know that. Wait, hold on. Wait, why are you going so hard on this? He's 100% gotten a lot better the last 2 years. Now, he was already really fucking good before that, but he's become a guy like he could play make before, but he's a playmaker now. He like became a solid like defender last year, and he's a really good defender now. Like, he's a dude that definitely got better over the last 2 years. Like, he was not this dude 2 years ago.
I agree, but
the dude's acting like he was an empty calorie guy when he's always been hell.
Yeah, and do we say he playmakes better because it's just there's players to make plays around him now?
I think the way he navigates screens, I think the way he sets up passes, like he sets up a swing. Like I think he thinks the game so much better now than he did a couple years ago. That's just like that's what happens with star players. Like that experience matters.
Yeah. Well, there's a certain amount of people telling you what he's going to be before he is that. And if you say pump the brakes, you're a hater. And that's what a lot of the Devin Booker stuff is. A lot of it is, okay, well, I want to see him play with good players in games that matter. I think that's important in the context of the NBA. Wouldn't you guys all agree?
For sure.
We've seen guys on bad teams that look awesome, and then they get into an environment where there are better players around them. And it's like, okay, well, they're good, but maybe they're not that guy. And Devin Booker, certainly, like, his skill level has increased quite a bit, but he's clearly that guy now. And I don't think he was clearly that guy 3 years ago. They sucked.
But here's the thing. My thing about him is, like, people were like, yeah, you know what? Like, he has a 56% true shooting. Like, he's not that efficient. It's like, motherfucker, who else would do much better with that supporting cast? Like, who would win games with...
Henry Ellenson and Alex Len.
Oh man, Alex Len, lottery pick.
Who that little tiny point Ben guard Simmons. From Kentucky, Tyler Ulis. I was there when Devin Booker had 70, and it was one of the biggest farces I've ever seen. One of the most hysterical things I've ever seen.
Who cares? He got 70, man.
The Suns lost by 10.
Yeah, I'm with
the
Zach.
Celtics won by 10, and the Celtics were totally silent and incredibly frustrated in the locker room, and the Suns were celebrating like they won a championship.
What else did they have to celebrate? That team sucked, man. That dude got 70.
No, but all I'm saying is that Suns team had hardly any NBA players. And so, yeah, of course he's not going to be super efficient. But the dude has always been a tough shot maker. He's always been a tough shot creator. He's always been the type of guy who would thrive in a playoff setting if he had the right pieces around him. I think he's been more than ready for this playoff run. And the fact that he's taking advantage of it and really roasting people in the playoffs is no surprise whatsoever.
Marquise Chris, minus 24 in that game, he got 70.
Shut up, Marquise.
See,
Chris.
One for 10. Another dude, one for 10. Sub-NBA player.
Also lottery pick.
I always, this doesn't mean much, but I found this interesting. I did a story with Bruce Brown like 2 years ago when he was, long before he was the greatest small ball center in NBA history, when he was a point guard for the Pistons. And he was asked, his goal, like he guarded every team's best player. And I had him rank at the end of his rookie year, ranked the players he had to defend, and he had Devin Booker number one. He said just the way he navigates screens, the way he moves off ball, the way he's patient when he has the ball, just to see the evolution of that with a good team and him utilizing his strengths already to make others better, what we saw tonight with the first triple-double and the way he facilitated and just picked his spots. It was – I've just always been a Devin guy, and he's from Michigan, so, you know, I shout out my Michigan guys.
That's another guy with a very visually appealing game, right? Like, everything he does is so smooth and just, like, he gets to his spots and it just looks like –
Don't get me going. I love me.
Look, basketball's art, man. It's like watching ballet. When Ben Simmons, and when guys that I mean, he plays Aussie rules football is what he's doing. But
no, they score.
Booker is definitely out there dancing.
Dave and the Suns, man.
I love that team, man. They're so much fun. Like Mikal Bridges, who we haven't even talked about.
Oh, he's my favorite player on that team, man.
Is he the best 3-and-D player in the league? As a 3-and-D guy?
I was one of the only people who voted him all defense. I'm heated that he didn't make it. I thought he was locked.
I like that vote.
Man, that dude locked up everybody this year.
He can just really play, man. And his off-the-dribble stuff improved even like over the course of the last couple of months. Much less the whole year.
Yeah, he's going to get a max deal.
Can I ask you guys one thing?
Such a nice setup, too. Like, you know, you got this really cool, like, you got Booker and Bridges and Ayton is such a good core to have, you know, because you got really important positions and the way they work together. And then you can plug in veterans around those guys for years.
Yeah, they got a squad. And shout out to Campaign, who might be the craziest story in the history of life, actually, not even just basketball. His I don't even know what you call it, but the fact that he's actually good.
It's not a researcher.
No, it's just a surgeon.
It's a surgeon.
Yeah. It's just a late bloomer. He was a late bloomer.
Yeah,
can't wait for.
I can Holy remember, shit, dude. I can remember during a Celtics Bulls playoff series, Fred Hoiberg was talking about the Bulls practice and how Campaign had been given the assignment of playing Isaiah Thomas in practice on the practice squad and about how good he was in his role as Isaiah Thomas. And I was like, yo, this is a new low for Campaign. Like, he's just the practice squad guy.
He played 4 minutes in the series.
Who plays better when he has no rules, when he has a little bit of freedom. I was like, this is
empty
not
going to
end well for Campaign. He has had a surgence of all surgences.
It's the craziest shit.
I mean, shout out to him because his career was done. It was over.
He sucked.
Oh, yeah. And he was about to be runner-up to Manuchar in the Ukrainian league. Like, he was done.
Manuchar would have given Manuchar him buckets.
Destroyed him. Absolutely destroyed him. No, the Campaign surgence is really fun. I can't wait for the surgence for 2-5 in a few years. That's how we'll refer to them for the rest of our lives. All right, that's good.
We'll never be a
surgeon. That's going to do it for the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA show on the Athletic Podcast Network. Make sure you subscribe to the Athletic. Make sure you do all that algorithm stuff with the unsubscribe, resubscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to this podcast. And make sure you check out all the best playoff coverage, which you find on theathletic.com. For Dave, for Trey, for James, for Jay, for Jade, I'm Zach. Keep it locked in on the Athletic.
Talked me into going to play pickup. And,
oh, okay, twins.
And by the way, and I knew I shouldn't because I've been doing this 5K training program, and I'm like, you know, just trying to get myself back to where I need to be, and I needed to take the weekend off. And God damn it, it was the one more game. I had almost rolled my ankle, like, because, you know, it was some shitty court or whatever. And fuck, man, I took off and I felt a pop. And they said it was the, like, so I thought it was my Achilles, because I've like struggled with tendonitis for like the last, like, I don't know, 10 years or something. And so I'm always nervous of that. And I guess they said I turned white when I said it. And I just, like, no, very calmly said, bro. I don't know, Jay. You got to see me. I'm pretty tan. I've been running outside in Texas. But, yeah, so I felt that pop. The first thing I did was reach to make sure my Achilles was attached, right? It was. So it was something in my calf, man. But I thought I was going to get sick. So I've been laying around, like, I've never had a tear in my like lower leg. I've only had it, like, I've had a tear in my bicep. I've had a tear in my pec. But those you can, like, work around. I can't work around my leg. Laying down sucks.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.